All right, we're still in Galatians, and this is our friend the Apostle Paul. And last week we talked about freedom versus enslavement. And again, I want to emphasize, remember who the audience is. You know, if you're a comedian, you have to have the right audience and know who they are. Or if you're telling jokes about accountants and these are surgeons, you're not going to get far. So his audience were Christians. And there are two portions of his audience, if you will. There's the church, and that's made up of the redeemed. And so some of his comments are directed to the church as a group. Other of his comments will be directed towards individuals. So we have to always balance that. What is he saying, and to whom is he saying it? The third thing to remember is that generally the scriptures that we have today are pretty accurate. And the words that are translated are pretty accurate. And so we have to accept what scripture says. Now, we have a tendency to try to mold scripture to our culture. And when we do that, we miss what God is trying to tell us, and we put ourselves in a position of not receiving the blessings that are available from our Heavenly Father. So today, as we move through, we just about got finished last week. I think the one thing that we didn't get to was the session. Remember, Paul's talking to the church. To the church. And that's important, because if sometimes what he says to the church may not exactly be the same as what he's going to say to an individual. Think about that. And I'll give you an example of that actually in a minute. But the fact is, at the end of last week's lesson, when we finished, we're talking about freedom, Christian freedom, we're talking about the law and enslavement. And there at the very end, Paul talked about the practice of keeping all of these various days, calendars, events, all sorts of events to be practiced as a Christian. And this is to the church now, it's not to individuals. And basically he says, you don't have to do all those things anymore. Remember, these people came out of paganism. You had two groups of Christians, the Gentile Christians. They came out of paganism, that's all that was there. And then the Jewish Christians, they came out of Judaism and all the practices that they had and all the practices that had been added over the years. So they all had these special events and special days. The sun came up, the moon came up, the full moon, a half a moon. They were always, depending upon which group they were in, celebrating those things. Guess what? They had taken both of these and put them into the church. So suddenly the church had calendars of days and special days and this and that. And now we once again were enslaved in a process of following certain events and celebrations. So at the end of last week's lesson, Paul just goes through and he mentions those particular items, you know, certain days and seasons and so forth, that these things can enslave, and this is to the church. To the church. So what's he saying? What's been his whole thrust? First of all, it's salvation by faith and nothing else. Secondly, he left, and all of a sudden he added stuff and stuff and more stuff. You ever wonder how we got all the stuff? How do we get all the stuff we have? The church stuff. Now, if you have many Episcopalians in here, they have a lot of church stuff. Lutheran, if you come from a Lutheran background, they have a pretty good amount of church stuff. If you were Catholic, you had church stuff. Plus, you had not only stuff, but sort of some additions that might be a little confusing. If you were a Baptist, you had lots of church stuff. You didn't know it. You didn't know it. You had lots of church stuff. Things you had to do, didn't have to do. I can go here, I can't go there, all this sort of thing. So it's very easy to enslave. In fact, I suggest to you, if you read the scripture in the New Testament, there's not one word about building a church building. You know that? Yeah. There's a shock. These were house churches. They first met in the synagogue, and when they were thrown out of the synagogue, they went to houses and then various venues. The only thing we're told is that they took care of each other. But we've added stuff. The great cathedrals in Europe that we're impressed by, it's wonderful. You go in, beautiful windows, everything is magnificent. And what do we say? Well, God is here. No, he's everywhere. And probably, if you listen to the preaching there, he hasn't been there in 400 years. But the fact is, that's just the reality of life. So what Paul is saying, and you can just sense it. You can sense how frustrated he was. I taught these people about Jesus being redeemed and all these wonderful things. I leave, and now we've added all this stuff. When they're back to practicing the law, the pagans are practicing, the sun coming up and all sorts of events that they used to have. In fact, the pagans are even back to practicing all the sexual immorality that took place. What a wacko deal had happened in a very short period of time. And we've had 2,000 years to foul it up. We've had 2,000 years to add stuff. And we've done it very successfully. And if there's the second thing that Paul teaches and in the Gospels and Jesus taught us, it's you can't be egocentric. You have to look out. And we tend to be by our nature. Even as redeemed, remember the old man is still there. Sin didn't go away when we became Christians. It's still there pulling, trying to pull in a certain direction. And because of that, this is where Paul is arriving. He's arriving at this position of, all right, I've tried to give them a good understanding of how they became a Christian. It's by faith. It's the grace of God. His grace handles everything. It's not grace plus. And then it's not living in the plus world. It's going to be living in the Spirit. Now, addressing to the church. I want to give you one other, I'm going to flip you out of this. Maybe. And I want to say something that Paul says. It's all going to talk about fruit here, even though I'm going into Romans for a second or two. He's talking about love and living sacrifices and so forth. And then Paul talks about, in Romans chapter 14, the weak in the faith and the strong in the faith. And here he talks about how one man's faith allows him to eat everything. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Now, does this mean everybody that you meet that eats only vegetables is a vegetarian, is a weak faith? No. The fact is that Paul's going to make a case here for individuals. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted them all. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And then it talks about one man considers one day more sacred than another. One man considers every day alike. Each should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. He who gives thanks to God gives thanks to God. He abstains from meat does so for the Lord and gives thanks to God. So the point of this is that when he dealt with individuals, first he tells the church, you don't need all this stuff. But then he says, if a particular individual, as part of his lifestyle, wants to praise God by doing this, and he's not, he just says, you know, oh, giving this to the Lord, he can do it, and we shouldn't look down on him. So there's an example. Someone will say, oh, it says in the Bible you can do all that. Then it says in the Bible you shouldn't. No. One is addressed to the church and their practices, doctrine, if you will. The other is addressed to individuals. And as we will see today, as we go through this quickly, that the underlying thrust of a Christian didn't change from the time Jesus told us about it until the time that the Galatians went every direction. And that was that we are to be directed by love. Now, we love love. We fall in love. Some people fall out of love, but we fall in love. And love is the single significant thing that separates us from everybody else. Now, I just heard this morning on TV, actually. We're talking of David Jeremiah was talking about this, and he was saying, you know, we always want to get even. You know, if you're a guy, you want to be even with another guy. You don't want to have, it was one step up on me. And so there's this idea of vengeance, and it was very important in clans and history. And yet Jesus, no vengeance. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. You know, so whoa. Love is the difference. We're talking about fruit of the Spirit, and why does Paul start about this? Why does he talk about it? It's because there was total confusion in this church. They were doing stuff, then they thought they were free. So I do something, and now I'm free to do anything I want. And Paul has to go back and list all of the sins that people could commit, the sins of immorality, the sins against God. And if you stop to think about it, they all knew that, because he taught that. But he reiterates it to get back to the point of what is it all about. You can't be focused on the law. You can't be focused on the activities as the church, because you're not really worshiping. You're involved in fighting. It even talks about that in this chapter, that people are trying to devour each other. You know, it's a horrible situation. He says, we'll do the prior verse. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, isn't that simple? How many understand that? How many really understand, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it says. That's hard if you have a miserable neighbor. It is. It borders on impossible, but it's hard. But that's what everything is summed up on that. We once heard a presentation by a fellow who was a missionary to the Muslims. Boy, there's a tough job. And his whole point was that's what he had to talk about that was different than Islam. Love. And he said, he said, we don't want to talk about this or that or Muhammad. Talk about love. And that was the differential. And that's what made it so different to someone who was in Islam. And yes, people are being converted from Islam. We should know that. The Holy Spirit can open the eyes of anyone. But it's our responsibility to live in love. So here we are. And he said, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now again, remember, this is the church. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to all, the people in Galatia He's talking to the church, and he says, stop devouring yourselves. So as you move away from love your neighbor, then you need to get to the tough one, love your fellow church member who disagrees with you. You know, that's the way it is. I want red carpet, you want green carpet. Life goes on, no carpet, no problem. But that's the fact is that Paul, way back then, realizes and teaches that this is a problem. So he says in verse 16, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to nature. The old man. Oh, let's talk about flesh. And we hear a lot about flesh. I always used to be confused about that, the things of the flesh. When you're a teenager, they're talking about all this stuff, and maybe you were a theologian then, I sure wasn't. And it just sort of went over, oh, things of the flesh, they sound cool. You know, yeah, and really, they did. flesh, they're all the fun things, and everything else was over here. And I was in a Baptist church, so you had to be over there. In any case, what does this really mean, the things of the flesh? This is really if you take the word, the Greek was S-A-R-X, that's the English version of it. It's the portion of the old man that clings to the redeemed. So when you look in the mirror, you say, I am redeemed, but there's a portion of me that's sinful still. Someday that's going to be done away with. We're going to get a new body. We're going to be cleansed. The devil's going to be out of the picture, and we won't have that anymore. But at this point in time in our lives, we've got this old man in here, I call him the old man, trying to cling to us and create havoc, and it's an ongoing battle. And this battle wants to create a church that is ineffective, doing nothing, not bringing people to Jesus Christ, not teaching the saints to grow. That's what he wants. And so that old man is in there always working. So Paul lists all the works and the activities of the old man, the flesh. And I'm not going to go through all of that because we know what that is. We see it every day. We're bombarded by it. In fact, resisting it sometimes almost borders an impossible because you're being so inundated by all of these situations. I mean, even if you try to watch the news in the last couple of weeks, wow, oh my goodness, I'm going to go to Washington and speak like that, you know, about other people. Everything that was Christian disappeared. It didn't make it. Didn't make it into that august body. So we are constantly, and you want to get mad? Can you get mad? Woo, I was mad a couple times, told you that last week, that what they were saying about this guy, and there's no proof, and rah, 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 and then all the lies, and then you have to step back and say, those people are lost. They're lost. And guess what? I have the light. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. I have the light. I am the redeemed. I have something to offer them. And it's not to go head on head and, you know, write articles and take your clothes off and walk down the street in Washington or anything like this.
I'm getting a visual.
I know. You've seen a Speedo, right? No. But walking down the street, you know? I can see Jimmy Bailey walking down the street.
Oh, no.
But that's not it. Yeah, that's not it. So we have the one other thing I'll have to mention to you is they mention in Scripture sorcery. That the root word from that comes from the word that we have for pharmacy. And sorcery, in those days, it wasn't someone going abracadabra, jump off the cliff. It was mixing potions and supposedly controlling the demonic world and controlling you as you took these potions. Isn't that interesting? What do we have going on today? Today we're trying to legalize all the potions so that people can take them. And it was the same way 2,000 years. So we should never, ever say, boy, it's terrible now. It never was like this before. No, it was worse. It was worse. You might say, I believe in Jesus, take the head off. It was worse. We are blessed. God has given us in this country an enormous opportunity. It shocks me. Read about some of the other countries. Read about our South American friends. Read about China. Read about Russia. Even read about Europe and the lack of freedom they have in religion right now. You say something, they can immediately go after you. So God has given us in this country an opportunity to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what comes when we are walking in the path that we should, when we're praying, and when we're aware of what we should be doing. The fruit of the Spirit is, and I'll give it to you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all under the category of love. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So all of these, joy is the assured hope of what we have. Peace, it's that inner composure. Joy is not waking up every morning, jumping out of bed, screaming, I'm so happy, I can't believe it. Now, if you do that and you're married, so be it. I hope your husband or wife can deal with it. But other than that, that's not it. It's a knowledge. It's an assured hope. It's something we have and we know. Peace, the inner composure, patience, that's enduring difficulty. Patience, very difficult. Because it's difficulty one after another, and we have to endure it with hope and inner composure. Kindness, tender, loving action. If we're all kind all the time, it's amazing. But we're going to struggle with these things. We have to make sure that God knows that we need help. That's why the Holy Spirit is inside. You know, it says, quench not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means, put it on the side here. It's when something happens and you know, and we're all going to admit this, that you shouldn't do it. And you do it. Now, what happens afterwards? Oh, you repent. You say, I shouldn't have done it. But there are times when that's going to happen. But tender, loving action in everything we do, and particularly, you see, all of this is not just to the people outside the church. These are all these miserable people in the church. Yeah. They say, you know, we shoot our wounded. That's a... Goodness is generosity. We should be generous. Faith is dependability, something that you can depend on. So that you know when they talk about gentleness, gentleness is not a weakness. The actual Greek word means strength under control. We have to be teachable by the Spirit. Self-control, we're redeemed. We're controlling the old man with the help of walking in the Spirit. Can't do it ourselves. You cannot do it yourself. You can only do it when you go to God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I'm failing. I need help. And that's when you'll get it. As long as you say you're in charge, not much good is going to happen. And Paul, even at the end of this, says that the law couldn't accomplish those results. Living by the Spirit, no conceit, no boastfulness, no pride, no provoking, no envying. Now, I don't know if it's easy to envy or not. Certain things I see, and I say, I'd like to have that. Now, am I envying someone for it? I'm not mad at anybody. So there's a fine line there. When you are upset that someone else has something, you've moved into the area of envy. When you just say, well, that's very nice, it'd be nice if I had it, but I don't, life goes on. Provoking, It's the way we act within the church. What do you hear most about when people talk about a church a lot of times? Problems. Problems. Oh, that pastor left. He was mad. Problems. We have to be supportive of each other. We have to love each other. We have to show this love to the world in everything we do. I find it's just fascinating that of all the things that could have been taught in chapter after chapter in Romans and then over in Galatians and Ephesians, it always goes back to love. That's it, one word. You know, agape love, you know, you've heard all that. The real thing. The real thing. And developing that takes a long time and only happens when we live by the Spirit. How do we live by the Spirit? The way we worship, the way we pray. And do we pray outward? I was at a prayer meeting, and I hope you weren't there with me. And we were praying, and everyone said, "We're done, nothing more to pray for." I said, "Oh, my thinking, whoa! the world is in a mess. There's plenty to pray for." But guess what? I realized we were praying for internal things. Everything was internal we were praying for. We weren't praying externally. We weren't praying for the mayor, the county commissioners, and boy, one county commissioner. No, we weren't praying for it. We weren't praying for them. We were praying for internal things. We weren't praying for a president because we didn't like him. And so it was sort of a great lesson to me, and it came back when I was preparing for this. We have great opportunity. So when we do those things, we start to live in the Spirit. And here's something, there's 100% guarantee that when we start to live in the Spirit, that our lives are going to be blessed and really blessed. The things that we talked about before, the peace, the joy, the gentleness, the changing of the personality in some cases, that will happen. Will you be given $10 million? I don't think so. And I don't think we need it. So as we continue down the path of the redeemed, which is what we are, we remember that the old man is still there, clinging and trying to pull us the wrong direction and making us ineffective. 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 Not responding the right way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, for your teaching, for the Apostle Paul that you gave us and preserved his teachings. Father, in our everyday life, may we reduce our activities to your command, which is to love one another as we love ourselves. Bless us, Father. There are many people in need here in our church and throughout the community. Give us opportunities to share the love that we have in Jesus Christ. Guide us and direct us in each and every action that we're involved with. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.